Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Who is and was and is to come, who with you, Lord God, there is nothing impossible. All things are possible to them who believe. We give you praise, glory, and honor this place today. We thank you for your presence here. I ask that you give each person in this place today eyes to see with, ears to hear with, what you would say through your word to each heart in here today, that they leave changed and not the same as they came, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here as the great revealer of all truth, as the mighty performer of the word of God to those who believe. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask for great unction and utterance to be given me today. Think through my thoughts. Speak through my lips your words. And we'll give you all the praise and thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, how many got your hand out this morning? Faith steps. Praise God. Amen. We're going to enjoy this together and go through it together. And it's something that you'll have as a resource to keep in your hands and in your files concerning the Word of God and your time in studying it, spending time with it. It's important. So we had, before we went on vacation and everything, we had been talking about staying spiritually fit and how important it is to have a strong spirit in the day and the time that we're living in. Not just this day, but any time, we need to have a strong spirit. And that it makes a difference when our spirit is strong, because the Bible says that it's the strong spirit of a man that will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble. Yeah. So if your spirit man is strong because you're feeding it the right food, how many know the inward man has to be fed properly? Yeah. Just like we take time on the outward man, we invest in exercise and doing things for the eating right so we can take care of the outward man. Well, how much more should we be taking care of the inward man, the hidden man of the heart, Peter said. Paul called it the inward man, and invest our time properly when it comes to spiritual things, because the outward man is no good to us, no more good to us than what our inward man. That's where it counts, because if the inward man is strong, it will reflect on the outward man. And that goes back to saying this, like it tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, you are a spirit being. Paul prayed, he said, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you are a spirit, you possess a soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, your reasoning, and you live in this physical body. But the more that we get the revelation and the understanding concerning the real you is not your physical body. It's just the house or the shell for your spirit man and your soul. Your soul and your inward man will go on through eternity. No end. It was created in God's likeness. A spirit being. So the more that we can understand and come to know that and recognize that and walk more in that light of thinking along those lines, that I am a spirit being created in the likeness and the image of God. My body is not the real me. It's the house for the real me. My body helps me to contact this physical world that I live in. The spirit man helps you to contact God, who is a spirit, spirit to spirit. And then your intellect, with your mind or your soul, you contact the intellectual world. But it's so vitally important that we understand more and more that you are a spirit being. And that we found out that according to the Word of God, that faith is of utmost importance to the life of the believer. There is no other way around it. God says you shall walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. So the more that we say, all right, God, you said that, so I'm determined to live that way. Not what my physical body tells me or all these other things that come at you and try to bombard you and persuade you or sway you off of your standing on the Word of God. But the more that we come to know and understand how faith is so vitally important to our walk with God. We can't get saved without faith. We can't walk with God without faith. We can't live for God without faith. We can't please God without faith. It takes faith to live in this life as a believer, as a Christian. So the more that we get to know and understand this faith life and be determined, I know it ain't easy. Believe you me, I know it ain't easy. But you keep... The Bible says that though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets right back up. Gets back up. Keep getting up and ringing the bell. Keep getting back up. That's so important. So in studying faith and looking at faith and understanding that we need to stay spiritually fit, we're going to take this resource, this handout today, and we're going to go through it, and I hope it's going to help you and remind you of faith steps and what it means and what we do here when it comes to faith, because we know what the Bible says, Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen with these physical eyes, but you can see it with the eyes of your heart. Faith now, faith is. So the God kind of faith is now. It's right now. I got it now. I have it now. It's mine now. It's always in the now tense. Hope is always futuristic. Hope is a good goal setter and a waiter, but it's not an immediate, I got it now. Faith brings it into the now. The God kind of faith brings it into the now. All of us have natural faith. It's easy to believe in something that we can see, feel, taste, hear, smell. That's natural faith. But we're talking about the God kind of faith. And that's to walk by faith, the God kind of faith, and not by sight. So we walk by what God says in His Word about us and not by what we feel, not by our five senses. So this is a process, and this is a lifelong process. We never arrive. We're always practicing along these lines. Right. If you're living on this earth, you are practicing along these lines, unless you choose not to. So we're going to take faith steps, and we're going to break it down. We took faith, and I made an acronym of it, and we're going to go through this together, each letter on faith. Are you ready? So the first letter we have is the letter F. Hallelujah. We're talking about faith steps and keeping a strong spirit. And we know that faith food is the word of God to our inward man. Yes. Faith food. This is the kind of food we need to be feeding the inward man. So the letter F, find scriptures and meditate on them. F, find scriptures and meditate on them. Let's turn together to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. When you're talking about the God kind of faith, you want to find scriptures that pertain to your situation. Find scriptures that pertain to your situation. If it's healing or health, then you want to go in the Bible and find all the healing scriptures. And that's why we have resources on that back table for those who come to the healing school, so we can get these into your hands to help you. To help you. We want to see you move forward. We want to see you grow in your faith. Joshua chapter 1, we're looking at the letter F, and it says, find scriptures and meditate on them. Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 8, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Say day and night.
Day and night.
You shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do. Say observe and do. That you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. So it's not just meditating day and night. Now we need to be putting our faith in action on what we've been meditating on. So it says that you may do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall have or deal wisely and have good success. Praise God. So if we break it down a little bit, it says, it means this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. It means to occupy your mind with God's thoughts of you. To occupy your mind with God's thoughts of you. Now this is where the battle begins, because like I said, you live in a physical body. So your body is contending for certain things and trying to persuade you, maybe because there's pain, there's some issues in your body, and you're feeling it. But we're to replace those thoughts, what we're dealing with in the physical body, with the thoughts of God, what His Word says about us. So if there's physical pain in your body, you do exactly like what the Bible says to do in Mark 11:23. It says, this is what the God kind of faith looks like. It says, speak to your mountain. I always say, find out exactly what you're dealing with and speak exactly to that exact thing. Don't speak around them, by His stripes I'm healed. That's all good. But if you get specific, if it's pain in your knee, then call it what it is. Pain in my knee. I speak to you right now. We want to get specific with it and not just a general that covers everything, which is good to say, by His stripes I'm healed. But we're talking about, Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto the mountain. Praise the Lord. So occupying your mind with God's thoughts of you. Meditate on that word. Thank it until you begin to see it on the inside, in your heart, in your spirit. The Word of God, when you continue to fill your thoughts with it and you begin to think on it more and more and more, it begins to paint the picture right here in your spirit. You're going to see it first in your heart, not out here. So many times we want to look for it out here, yep. But it's not. It's going to paint the picture first in your heart, because in your heart is where you what? Become fully persuaded. That's where you become fully convinced. Right. I have what God says I have, no matter what I'm feeling. Uh-huh. What I'm feeling does not dictate to me what I have or don't have.
Right.
So we talked about the letter F, finding scriptures and meditating on them, the importance of this meditation. This meditation means to premeditate in order to do it. You meditate on it so much, you think on it, you dwell on it, you roll those scriptures over and over and over in your mind. You mutter it outwardly, inwardly, over and over again. You said in your word, Lord God, Himself took my infirmities.
Right.
You said, by your stripes I was healed. You said, speak to that mountain.
Yes.
You meditate. Think on. When your mind wants to go here or go there, or wants to follow this, or it wants to remind you of another report, you reel it back in and say, nope, we're going to dwell on the thoughts of God concerning me right now. God, your word says this, by your stripes I am healed. Pain, you can't live in my body. You can't stay in my body. I speak to the pain.
That's right.
Call it what it is. Hallelujah. So you occupy your mind with God's thoughts of you. And you know, that takes a continual working. Because like I said, your mind will want to go in all directions, especially if you're in pain. Listen to me now. When you're in physical pain, The best thing that you can do is speak out loud. Listen to me now. Thinking is one thing, and you can think and you can meditate, but you need to open your mouth and speak out loud to it and command it to leave. It has to leave. I said it has to leave. I remember so many times when I have been ministering to people with stage 4 cancer, and they were coming to the healing school. We've had those that have had stage 4 cancer come to the healing school, and in a year's time, they left totally free of all cancer because they listened to the Word of God. They took it seriously. They took it to heart. They applied the Word. They did the Word. And they left here healed. But I have been on the phone many times with people that are in stage 4 cancer, and they'll call me and they say, "Pastor Debbie, I am in so much pain right now." I say, "All right, put your hand where that pain is right now." And of course, they'll put their hand right there. I said, "Now you agree with me. When we speak, I want you to learn this with me. We're going to speak to it together, and we're going to command it to leave, and it will leave." And so we pray and we command it to leave. And of course, they're like, "Wow. Wow, it does work." Said, yes, it does work, but you're learning the authority that you do have over those things. You know, sometimes in helping people who are dealing with a lot of pain, helping them to stay on top with the Word of God is getting in there with them and saying, "All right, now, you're going to speak and declare this Word with me. You're going to say what the Word says, no matter what you feel like right now. You deal with the pain first, and then you declare the Word of the Lord and get them speaking it." It is so, so vitally important. Every single time, beyond a shadow of a doubt, every single time it worked for them. When they didn't do it and they allowed the pain to overwhelm them, look, it's not easy when you are dealing with a lot of pain. I'm telling you, it is not easy. But the only way that you're going to stay more convinced and overtop the pain is to know what the Word of God says about you and to put that Word in practice. To do the Word, just like it says here in Joshua. You meditate on it, and you meditate on it, you think on it, you dwell on it until it paints the picture in your heart. And then when it paints the picture in your heart, when you see it, you can be it. When you see it, you can be it. And it reminds me of always that example. I heard a minister, and listening to a minister one time when he was helping people understand about Proverbs 23:7 about the you that you see is the you that you will be. Or the King James says, "So is a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And this woman had been pronounced legally blind, and her glasses that she was wearing was really thick, but she still could not see it. She was legally blind. And so this evangelist came into town, and the church that she was going to, he came to that church. And she had been prayed for quite a bit, many times by other ministers, and had not received her healing. So when this evangelist came in town and came to her church, she was reluctant about going to the meetings and having another letdown or disappointment. Remember, God will never let us down. His Word always works. He never fails. So anyway, this evangelist calls her out in the service and calls her up front. And she's really reluctant and kind of like, "Oh, no, I don't want." So anyway, she goes up front and he lays hands on her and he prays for her eyes to be totally restored and healed. And he tells her in the meantime, when he's praying for her, to shut her eyes. So she closes her eyes. So he asked her after he lays hands on her, he said, "Can you see?" And she tries to open her eyes. He said, no, shut your eyes, shut your eyes. I didn't tell you to open your eyes. He says a second time, can you see? And she tries to open her eyes. He says, no, I didn't tell you to open your eyes. Shut your eyes. And so she's like, what in the world? What is going on? And so a third time, he asks this minister evangelist, ask her, can you see? And she goes to open her eyes again. He's like, no. He said, I didn't tell you to open your eyes. He said, I'm asking you, can you see yourself seeing? And she stops and she's like, no. So she prays in the spirit, she prays in tongues for a little while, and then she says, I got it. And he says, now open your eyes. And when she opened her eyes, she could see. She had to see it in her heart and her spirit first. And the moment that she saw herself seeing, then it became real to her. So we're talking about the letter F, finding scriptures and meditating on them. Let's look at some more scriptures here. So we know we need to spend time in the Word of God, thinking on them. You know, I'll just give you an example in my own life. When I worked in the shipyard, I used the time that we was on the bus riding to and from the shipyard. I had an hour. So each week I would write out a scripture on a 3x5 card, take those cards, and one by one start going through them on the bus, because it began to build up week after week after week, a scripture that I knew, whether I was reading the Bible and I was being taught by Brother Hagin, I was taking those scriptures and writing them down on a 3x5 card, and I would just think on them and meditate on them all the way home. Mutter them out loud, say them, roll them over in my heart, saying, that's me, that's mine, that's what I look like, that's who, that's what I have according to the Word of God. God says this is who I am. I believe what God says of who I am. Over and over and over again, to and from the shipyard. That was my time of meditation. And now I just get up early. Got up early in the shipyard, still get up early. Praise the Lord. So let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Psalms chapter 1. We're talking about finding scriptures that pertain to your situation and then spending time on that scripture or scriptures. Thinking on them, meditating on them, getting them down in your heart so that it begins to paint a picture. You begin to see yourself in here first, the way God says about you. You see yourself, maybe you got a back pain. Maybe you got a knee pain. Maybe you've been limping. You see yourself without the limp, walking normal. You see yourself bending if you couldn't bend your back. You begin to see what the Bible says belongs to you. Divine health is yours. But it doesn't mean it's just going to fall off into your lap like a ripe cherry off a tree. It don't happen like that. God said, this has already been provided for you. It's yours for the taking. Now he's waiting for us to what? Receive it, take it, and make it your own. This is where it takes faith. Because God said it, you choose to believe it because he said it. So in Psalms chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, in verse 2 it says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice. Following their advice? No. Lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes. Nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk. No. Mm-mm. Nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. Definitely not. But verse 2, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, or in the Word of God. His delight and desire. Your delight and your desire is in what? The Word of God. That's your answer. The Word is the answer. Your answer. His delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, He habitually, woo, here we go, glory, I love that word, habitually. Habitually meditates, ponders, studies by day and by night. What, Pastor Debbie, you mean I got to take the time to do this? Well, you know what? You'll spend time in what's important to you. If it's not important to you, you won't spend time in it. I'm just going to tell it like it is. You'll count it as something, well, maybe, they say that. You got to find it for yourself. You got to get into the Word and find out what the Word says, and then that it will work for you. Because it will. It will work for whosoever will believe it. Whosoever. Are you that whosoever? So it says, verse 2, his delight and desire in the law of the Lord and on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, that word habitually right there. So forming good habits, spiritual habits in our lives. We talked about the letter F, finding scriptures and meditating on them. This means a spiritual discipline. Here we go with staying spiritually fit. A spiritual discipline. Training yourself into godliness. Training yourself unto godliness. Exercising yourself spiritually. Training yourself spiritually. It takes time to do this. You never arrive. You never get to the place where you have arrived. This is an ongoing process. His delight and desire in the law of the Lord and on his law, precepts, instructions, teachings of God, he habitually, so here we go, you form the right habits. This is what helps put you over in life. This is what helps you win in life. You form the right spiritual habits in your life. Not just in crisis when the crunch is right down on and you feel like you can't move from under that crunch. No, this is a lifestyle. This is all the time we're forming this spiritual habit, this spiritual discipline in our lives so that it becomes the norm to us. It's an everyday thing. We don't say, oh boy, No, it's an everyday thing. Lord, this is my time right now with you and your word. Everyday thing. He habitually meditates. So forming the right spiritual habits. Taking time to meditate on these scriptures day and night. It ponders and studies them night and day. Here's the same thing that Joshua just told us night and day. Right here in the book of Psalms. Night and day. That's why it's a good thing. First thing in the morning. Feed your spirit man. Feed your inward man before you feed the outward man. Yeah. Why? Because you're training yourself. Yeah. You're disciplining yourself. You're forming the right habits so that your outward man does not take control like it wants to. So the more that you can crucify the outward man and make the outward man come unto subjection to your heart, you get up and your belly's growling and wanting food or something. I say, no, you're gonna get spiritual food first. Right. That's just the way it is. It lets that body and flesh recognize and know, oh, you mean you're not going to give me what I want first? Nope, you ain't getting it. It's just the way it is. But you got to be determined. It takes determination. Let's look at some more scriptures. Let's go to Psalms 63. The more word we have, that's the more what? Ammunition in your gun. The word of God is great ammunition, especially when the devil's trying to throw those fiery darts. But the shield of faith, what? Repels those fiery darts. Yes, it does. Psalm 63, and in verse 6, it says, when I remember you upon my bed. Woo, here's another good one. Yeah. Last thing you do before you shut your eyes and go to sleep. Yes. Meditate on his word. What, Pastor Debbie, you told me first before I even feed my outward man, I got to feed the inward man. Yeah, I'm helping you. I'm trying to help you form the right spiritual habits. that's going to help you in this life is to win in life. We want you to win because God says you are a winner. So it says right here, when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. So first thing you do when you get up, last thing you do before you shut your eyes and go to sleep. Yep. It's good. It's forming good spiritual habits. These things will so help you. Well, you don't know, Pastor Debbie. I work hard every day on a big job, and I'm telling you, by the time I hit that bed, I'm out. Well, before you jump in bed and get out, take the Bible and walk around the bed, keep yourself awake, and be meditating on it. You do whatever it takes. Look, if you're serious about it, you'll do whatever it takes. If you fall asleep real easy, stand up, walk around, have the Bible in your hands. Listen to me now. Put the Bible in your hands and walk around with it. And say, mutter it to yourself inwardly and outwardly. This is who I am. This is what I have. This is what I can do in Christ. You're overcoming these weaknesses where you've allowed the flesh, the outward man, the body to rule and dominate you. Now you're learning that the body will start screaming when it has to come in line. I can tell you the body don't like it. When it finds out something else is going to be over it, it might scream a little bit, holler a little bit. But you bring it like Paul said, daily I crucify my flesh. Paul said daily he had to crucify his flesh. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I pommel my body daily. I bring it in subjection. I make it obey and follow my heart. Whether it wants to or not. Like Smith Wigglesworth said, who had 23 people raised from the dead under his ministry, he said, I don't ask my body how I feel. I tell it how it's going to feel. It's true. Yeah. So we're looking at some more scriptures here. That was Psalms 63:6. Let's go to Psalms 119. Oh, this is some good ones here. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, we're looking at verse 15 and 16. I will meditate on your precepts. I will. I think so. I might. Maybe. No. He says, I will. I will meditate on your precepts and have respect to your ways, the paths of life marked out by your law. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Woo, glory. I love it. Love the Amplified. So he's saying what? I will. He's taking his will and making a choice. I will do this. I will meditate. I will have respect for your ways. I will delight myself in your word. If you don't have a desire for the word of God, it's all right to ask God for a hunger and a desire. You can ask for that every single day. It's nothing wrong with that. Don't feel condemned and under condemnation. That's the enemy trying to keep your faith from working. No, ask God, Lord, I want to be more hungry today than I was yesterday for your word. Show me your word. Reveal your word to me. Oh, boy, he just loves that hunger and thirst when it comes to his word. Yeah. So we're finding scriptures and we're meditating on. Let's look at another one. Psalms 119, verse 48. Just around the corner here. Psalms 119, verse 48. My hands also will I lift up in fervent supplication to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. I will. There's that word will. It's a strong word. Because with your will, you choose what you're going to do, what you're not going to do. So it says right here, your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. We're talking about the acronym FAITH, T taking faith steps, and the first one is to find the scriptures that pertain to your situation and begin to meditate on them habitually, forming the right spiritual habits. Let's look at another one. Psalms 119, verse 97. Psalms 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation, what? All the day. I love your laws, my meditation all the day. Well, what? Here's a good thing to remember. First thing when you wake up, before you do anything else, pull your Bible out, begin to look at the scriptures that pertain to your situation, telling you who you are, what you have, what you can do in Christ. And then throughout the day, I remember when I worked in the shipyard and I was on my computer all day long, I would take a 3x5 card and I would tape it to my screen on the side. So when I had the opportunity, I would stop and just glance at that card, which had the scripture, think about it, mutter it to myself, might just speak it out loud a little bit if I have that opportunity, if nobody was in my office, and then go back and do my work. Had another little break, another time, I stopped, looked back at the card, remind myself of the scripture, say that scripture, mutter it, think on it, dwell on it, all throughout the day. You're learning to train yourself, exercising yourself unto godliness. You're training yourself in spiritual exercises. You're learning to become more aware of God's word and what his word says about you, then your situation and what you're feeling, all the reports that you've been hearing, or what others have told you, what doctors have showed you or told you. You're filling your thoughts with God's thoughts concerning your situation and you. So that was Psalms 119, verse 97. Let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. And we're looking at verse 17 and 18. Proverbs 22, verse 17 and 18, amplified. Listen, consent, and submit to the words of the wise, and apply your mind. What? Apply what? Your mind, your thinking, your thought life. Apply your mind to what? His knowledge, his word. Verse 18, for it will be pleasant if you keep them in your mind. Oh boy, what, Pastor Debbie? You don't know the thoughts that I'm fighting. Yes, I do. Yeah. We all have to deal with that every single day of our life. We make choices on the thoughts that come to us every single day. You can either reject those thoughts, cast those thoughts down, or you can either choose to dwell on them until you find yourself entertaining it, and then you find yourself doing it. Just like you entertain the Word of God, you think on the Word of God, it causes action also. You do it. So what does it say right here in verse 18? For it will be pleasant if you keep them, what? God's Word. Keep them in your mind. Keep them. We're talking about meditation. First thing in the morning, last thing we do before we jump in beds, during the different times of the day when you can make yourself available before the word. Get that word in there. Meditate on it. We're talking about forming spiritual habits now, good disciplines. So it says here, keep them in your mind, believing them. We just added a new one here. You fill your thought life so much with the Word of God that it pushes everything else out. And now you're believing what you've been meditating on, because now it's what? It's painting a picture in your heart. It's painting the picture on the canvas of your heart. You've been thinking so much on what God's Word says about you. Remember, God's word is not just a word on a piece of paper in a natural book. It is the word of God. So it is all that God is, it has all that God has, and it can do all that God can do. God's word are like containers. Containers of what? His life, his nature, his ability, power. God's word are like containers that contain his power, his life. So when you're meditating on it, you're partaking of it, you're thinking on it, what? That life, that power is being what? Released into you. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Your heart, your inward man is being quickened by the life-giving power that's in this word. Remember, it's God-breathed. It's God-inspired. It's God-indwelled. These words right here. So when you partake of it, you meditate on it, you think on it, you're becoming one with the Word. The Word is becoming one with you. You're taking ownership of the Word of God. It's becoming a part of you, just what you want it to do.
Right.
Hallelujah. So it says, for it will be pleasant if you keep them in your mind, believing them. Now we have to switch not believing what your body is telling you, what you're feeling, but believing what God says about you, believing them. Your lips will what? Become accustomed to confessing them. Oh, I love it. I love it. I just love the Amplified, because here's a whole process right here in just three or four words. You keep them in your mind. You meditate, meditate, meditate. It begins to paint a picture on the canvas of your heart. Now you're seeing it in here. Now you're believing it. If you can see it, you can be it. If you can see it, you can be it. The you that you see is the you that you'll be. See yourself running if you can't run no more. See yourself bending if you can't bend no more. See yourself, whatever the situation is. See yourself the way God sees you. Oh, yeah, for all those online, there is this handout for you online that you can tap on it and download that resource for yourself so you can follow along with us. Amen. So it says, "For keep them in your mind, believe in them, your lips will be accustomed to confessing them." Mm-hmm. That's getting them in our mouth. So vitally important here. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ, the word of who? The word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, how are they going to get in there and dwell in you richly? Through meditation. Finding scriptures and meditating on them and getting them in your heart. You'll make time for what's important to you. What you invest in, you'll never walk away from. But if you don't take the time in it and count it as something of great value in your life, then it won't be anything to you. Praise the Lord. All right, can we hit on? We're going to get one more letter in today. We're going to go to the letter A. So F was what? Find scriptures and meditate on them. We're looking at faith steps. A is accept God's word as your final answer. A, accept God's word as your final answer. Look, turn with me into Mark, the book of Mark. That's one of the four gospels. Book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 20, we're talking about accepting God's word as the final answer. That's what you've been finding scriptures on. You've been meditating on them. Now you're accepting his word as your final answer, not just another answer and a B choice or C choice. Or, well, I got this one, I got this one. No, as your final answer. So we're accepting God's word as your final answer. Look at Mark chapter 4, and we're looking together at verse 20. And Mark chapter 4, it's talking about, Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower. and sowing the seed of God's word, because God's word is like a seed. But the seed of God's word has to be planted in your heart. And when it gets planted in your heart, it has to be watered continually. You water the word of God that gets sown in your heart by continuing to think on it, dwell on it, and speak it. Speak it. You embrace that word as your very own. You make it yours. Look at this in verse 20 in the Amplified. It says, and those seeds that are sown on good, well-adapted soil. Your heart determines what kind of soil the seed of the word of God will be planted on. Your heart is that where the seed gets planted. It says, those sown on good, well-adapted soil are the ones who, here we go, here's the right kind of heart, the ones who hear the word of God, receive and accept, and welcome it. Woo, glory. It says these are the ones that who hear the word. So you know you got to be hearing it. Hearing it, meditating on it, thinking on it, dwelling on it. Now you're accepting it. Now you're receiving it. Now you're welcoming it. And what? As your very own. Not as somebody else's, because you heard their testimony, what they did, and that was all good and grand for them. But now you're saying, this is me. This is mine. This is who I am. This is what I have. I see myself as this, having this, accepting it, embracing it. Hearing it, embracing it, doing it. It says, and accepting and welcoming it and bearing fruit, some 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much as the seed of God's word. See, just like the seed, a natural seed gets planted in the dirt and the soil, do you see something right away? No. You know, if you put that seed in the ground and you water it and you take care of it, what? It's going to eventually, what? Spring forth, spring up, and produce. Well, we don't want to give the Word of God time as a seed to get it sown in our hearts, to allow that seed to take root, to grow, and then what? Produce fruit in our lives. Faith is one of the fruits of the born-again, recreated human spirit empowered by the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Faith is one of the fruits of the born-again spirit. Fruits grow. That seed gets down in your heart. It gets watered. It has to get planted. It gets watered. We talked about getting that seed, accepting it, embracing it, receiving it, and welcoming it as your very own. Oh, I see myself as, I see it. I see it, Lord. I see it. I see myself. I see myself with this because your word says it. I see it right here. It's mine. I have it. Bless God. We talked about, we're only on the letter A, the second letter, but we're talking about accepting God's word as your final answer, your final answer. So let's look at this. Now we know that your heart determines the right soil, the soil of your heart for that seed to be planted. Given the word of God time to grow, we got to give it time to grow. We're looking for results and we ain't even got it planted good. We ain't taking the time to water it. It's just like a seed. It has to have time to grow. And it will produce the fruit that it's intended to. If we do what the word says, get that seed sown and keep watering it. Keep meditating. Keep speaking. Those words become accustomed to your mouth and you start speaking it because you realize this is what I have. This is who I am. So you're accepting God's word as your final answer. So let's go to Psalms 119, verse 89. The word of God is so powerful, like I was saying just a few moments ago. If we realize more and more that it is like John 6:63, Jesus said, my words are life and spirit. In other words, they're life-giving and they're spiritual in their meaning, but life-giving in its effect. Excuse me. God's word is spiritual in its meaning, but life-giving in its effect. But right here in verse 89, Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heaven, stands firm as the heavens. Forever God's word is settled in the heavens. You are the one that settles it here on the earth. It's settled forever. It's eternal. And God said in Isaiah 55, verse 11, my word does not return unto me what void or powerless. It says what it will go out and accomplish that for which it was purposed. It will prosper where it's being sent. God's word, Luke 1:37, is never void of his power nor void of his ability. Never. It's eternal. It's life-giving, life-changing, life-preserving, life-sustaining. The word of God is, if we can just recognize that and just meditate on that, how powerful this word is. Words of life and spirit. Hallelujah. It's settled forever. God does not take back, nor does he want to take back one word that he has spoken. He said it and he meant it and he meant what he said. So Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. Has he not said it, will he not do it? Has he not spoken it, shall he not make it good? Yeah, shall he not make it good for what? To those who will believe it. Hallelujah. He's not going to go back on his word. Not one word. Why does it tell us in 1 Kings 8:56? It says, not one word has ever failed. Not one word. There has not failed one word of all your good promise. There has not failed one word. One word. You think about that. 1 Kings 8:56 here. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise which he promised through Moses and his servant. Not one word. Not one word. That's how powerful the word of God is. Why does it tell us in... Here's another scripture. Let's see. Get one more in here. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 3:16. All scripture. Say all scripture. Amplified says every scripture. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error, and discipline in obedience, and for what training? Here we go, we're training for reigning, hallelujah, training. We're spiritually training ourselves here. It says training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will in his thoughts, purpose, and action. I love it. Training us in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. I love it. Hallelujah. So God's word is what? It's alive. Hebrews 4:12. We're going to end up right there. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12. We'll end on that scripture today. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word that God speaks is alive. Say alive. Alive. Is alive and full of power. Say full of power. It's alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing. Woo! Have you ever just sometimes... I know when different attacks that come against my body, and I mean all of a sudden I lost my strength and just felt so weak and lifeless, and I just take the word of God and begin to meditate on it, think on it. Boy, the very life of that just quickens my body, and you feel strength and renewed strength. It just comes and is being made alive and quickened in you. It's alive. It's living power. The Word of God is living power. So it says, for the Word of God is alive, quick, powerful, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. It's like a two-edged sword. What do you mean? Two mouths? First it's God's mouth to you, and then it's your mouth back to God. Are you hearing me? It's like a two-edged sword. Two mouths. First it's God's mouth to you, and then you get His word back in your mouth, speaking it back to Him. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Yes. Glory to God. We'll just continue next week. Bring your sheet with you. If not, we'll have some more here for you. If you don't have it with you, and all those online, you'll be able to get yours from right there in the Healing Center online.